Well, first of all, just to say well done to everybody who received a prize today. You've done an amazing job all year, and especially over the last few weeks and months, given COVID, given lockdown, completing all the fantastic tasks that your awesome leaders have given you, learning all the right answers to all the questions that we've been learning. And it's been a bit of a journey, right? Your leaders all year have been trying to teach you to read, to understand, and to learn what the Bible has to say using the New City Catechism. And we've been doing the same thing in the youth, in the older young people's group. And Scott has been doing the same thing with all of us in church. We've been using questions and answers to learn some really important truths about God, about who he is, about what he has done, about what we have done. And we've all learned about this man called Jesus Christ and why he is so important in the story, that he is God's son. But why have we been doing all of this? Why have we been looking at questions and looking at these answers? Why have you had to learn them? Well, you might say we've been doing training. Just like athletes train really hard for the Olympics, or footballers might train really hard for a competition, to win the competition or just to compete in it, maybe like the Champions League or the Premier League. Like tennis players who train to compete and maybe win things like Wimbledon, just like Andy Murray. Or even closer to home, we've got our very own Amy Cunningham, who has to train regularly to win and win, hopefully and successfully so, the European Championships and even the World Championships. But we aren't training for the Olympics, and we're not training for any big sports final. So what are we training for? We are training to learn how to become, and also how to live once we've become one, become a Christian. And believe it or not, your leaders like Pauline and Susan and all the rest that were named are training every day. And they have been from the day they became a Christian. And now your leaders have all this experience and all this knowledge, and they want to share it with you. We want to pass it on to you guys so you too can become a Christian and eventually win this prize which we hear in the Bible, heaven. But this is a much bigger story, and we can't just stop there. So when we open God's Word, we read from this book called 1 Corinthians. Now that was written by a man called Paul. You've probably heard of him. But although Paul is a very interesting man, it's more the people that Paul is writing the letter to, which help us to understand why Paul writes this letter. Paul is writing to a church, much like ourselves, in that sense. But it's a church in a very interesting city. This city is called Corinth, and the city is hosted a very special sporting event every 2 years. And that sporting event was called the Isthmian Games. I struggle to pronounce it, but Isthmian Games. Now, these games were so important, not just for the people of Corinth, but in the surrounding lands and area, that it was considered second only to the main Olympics that took place in Greece. So maybe this morning you're listening, and maybe you're a very sports-orientated young person or adult. Maybe you dabble in sports when you have to, or maybe you have absolutely no interest in sport. You don't have a sporting bone in your body. But the people of this city called Corinth, well, they lived and they breathed sport. It's super familiar to them. So when Paul writes to them, it seems obvious to use sport because that's the language which they speak, to include competition. That way it would make perfect sense. So Paul starts in verse 24, where we started our reading, where Hannah started. And Paul says this: "Do you not know that in a race all runners run, but only one receives the prize?" You can almost hear the people of Corinth say, "Yes, Paul, we know that's how it works." And nothing has changed today. That's exactly how the Olympics works. That's how the Commonwealth Games work. When there's a race, there's one gold medal, there's a silver medal, and there's a bronze medal. And in normal circumstances, only one person can win those medals. But Paul isn't obviously talking about a running race. Instead, he's talking about a race of faith. It's a lifelong marathon of what faith in Jesus Christ looks like. the race of being a Christian. The race is the focus of Paul's attention. But it's not only the race, it's the prize at the end of the race, which Paul wants to talk about. And as I mentioned, this city, which is soaked in sport, unfortunately, some of that had leaked into the church. So the Christians in Corinth had a really bad reputation for trying to compete with one another. And this isn't in outside of the church, this is inside the church. Now, when Paul writes this letter, he's not actually with these people in Corinth. In fact, he's most likely in a city called Ephesus. So he's not even with them. But the way they're behaving and the way they're acting has reached Paul. So he needs to write a letter to them. And the problem was that some of those who were leading the church, who were in the leadership, were becoming arrogant. They thought they were better than some other people in the church. And nobody really likes that. Still, nobody really likes that. But is it really surprising? Is it surprising given this church which is so surrounded by sport? Not really. But is it because of their faith? Is it surprising because of the faith which they claim to have? Yes. Why? Well, because it shows that they haven't really understood the gospel at all. They claim to be a Christian or Christians, but the way they behave suggests they don't. They're not. We've been learning the catechisms, and when Jesus summarizes the Ten Commandments, he summarizes them saying this: "Love the Lord your God with all your heart and strength and soul, and love thy neighbor as yourself." The people in Corinth could maybe accept the first bit, but they really struggled with the second. And so often Paul speaks into what they understand. He has just explained in the previous verse how he had become all things to all people. So now Paul has to become a Corinthian to speak to the Corinthians. And Paul encourages them in verse 24 to do just that. Do what they know to do. Paul wants them to run this race of faith. He wants them to run it well. In fact, he encourages them. He says there is a race. There is a competition. And there's a competition happening around them, so get involved. There's a prize to be won at the end. Keep running hard. Keep running vigorously. Keep running constantly and diligently. And as I said, he wants them to run this race. He wants them to run it well. In verse 25, Paul reminds the Corinthians of what it takes to get involved in this race. Self-control in all things. It takes hard work and dedication, self-sacrifice, and almost single-minded stubbornness, setting aside distractions and temptations. Now, at this stage, you could almost imagine the Corinthians tapping themselves on the back. They're doing a good job of that. They have one thing in mind and they're working for it, but for one thing. These athletes which Paul mentions in verse 25 are running for a perishable wreath. If you've ever seen old movies or even scenes of the original Olympics, when people ran a race to win and they won that race, what they were given was not a medal like today. They were given a wreath, a leafy wreath around their head. And that wreath would die eventually. It was just made of leaves from the trees. That's it. That's what they competed for. And Paul says, but we, Christians, we compete for an imperishable wreath. We are different. We are not like those people around you who compete. We're supposed to be different. Our race is different. Our reward is different. And we don't race to defeat others. We don't race to prevent others from crossing the line in victory either. In fact, we might strive to be an example. We might even strive to get there first. But in our race, there isn't only one winner. Everyone in the Christian race may run, and as Paul says, to obtain the prize. And the prize is to become a Christian, to become a child of God, to get into heaven. And James, the brother of Jesus, he wrote this in his book later in the Gospel. Or in the New Testament, sorry. In chapter 1, verse 12. blessed is the one who perseveres under trial, because having stood the test, that person will receive the crown of life that the Lord has promised to those who love him. Those, plural, everyone who loves him can win the prize. Today in His Kids, many of you have won a prize for your fantastic job this year. And I'm not taking away from that. Well done, fantastic, it's been an awesome job. But have you joined the main race? Have you learnt all that your leaders have tried to teach you this year? And not only learnt it, have you believed it? Have you started running that race which your leaders are encouraging you to start, that race for God? Because you can only win the prize if you first start the race. Today's prize that you've won, this Bible, awesome prize, but it will get old, and it'll get tired, and it'll get threadbare, and it might be thrown in the bin one day. But the race which your leaders have been teaching you about, which they are all running themselves, it has an incredible prize at the end, one which won't pass away. It won't perish, it won't spoil, it lasts forever. It's what we call eternal. It's getting into heaven. And that's why your leaders teach you every week. We would love every single one of you to join that race. And we would love to see all you grow up through His Kids, come into the youth, through church, and commit yourselves to that race, living for God, becoming a Christian, and living for Him. And there's a prize worth infinitely more than that. That Bible you won today, infinitely more at the end of it. And for those who are young and who hear what I'm saying, what Paul is saying, if you want to become a Christian, you have some very special and amazing leaders who can explain how that works, how you can take that step. Pauline and Susan, who are here today, or Pauline's with me today, Susan was on the screen. We'd love to have that conversation. And I know there are many others each week who are the same. Even the parents who have become the His Kids leaders this year. Look up to your leaders. Look up to your parents. The Bible tells you to honor them, but more than that, these are biblical athletes, which Paul has been speaking about. So watch your parents closely. Watch your leaders closely. Learn from what they do. Learn from what they say. See how they run their race. See what their purpose in life is. And parents and family, His Kids leaders, youth leaders, myself, Paul says something to us too. We have an incredible job to do. What a privilege we have to share the gospel with young people, but not one to be taken lightly. We're in this race which Paul has spoken about, and he's speaking to the church in Corinth about, and we're ahead in this race. We have more experience. We have had more time to run. And it's not something we can be arrogant about. It's not something we can use as privilege. Because just as Paul explains here, we can't lose sight of why we run. We have a focus, a purpose. And we don't run aimlessly and we don't box the air. His prime purpose, Paul's prime purpose, is to bring as many people as he possibly can into this race behind him. Is that your purpose? Is it your focus? Is that ours? Paul's in constant battle to preach and teach against all that the world has to say, all the lies that come in from this earth. And that's what Paul is doing here. He is hitting that evil out of the lives and the behaviors of the people in Corinth. At least he's trying. He wants them to be as he has been for them, a worthy example, a diligent and a determined Christian, not engaging in arguments, boasting, and causing division. Are you sharing in Paul's purpose? Are we sharing in Paul's purpose? Or are we losing sight of that goal, distracted by temptation and distracted by the beautiful things in life around this world which so often grab our attention? Have we stopped prioritizing our young people's journey of faith? Does family time or hobbies more often than not get in front of church family? Or maybe we could have drifted to a new purpose, a new goal in our minds, financial success, ourselves, material possessions, a nice house, a nice car, a nice job promotion, which you're working towards. Because if we allow ourselves to drift, then we risk doing what Paul warns us against, boxing aimlessly, running without purpose. And the thing is, none of these will last. They're just as perishable as the wreaths set on the heads of the athletes in the Olympics in Greece. And Paul recognizes this struggle. He doesn't patronize us. He doesn't scoff at us. He knows the risk, and the risk applies to himself as well. You see, he understands there's a process required to keep that purpose in the sight of, and the purpose of winning that prize. We must keep all three. Otherwise, Paul tells us in verse 27, lest we preach to others and ourselves be disqualified. Discipline our bodies. Exercise self-control. Paul speaks regularly in his letters about this battle against ourselves, about the desires of our hearts, the temptation of our bodies, of our minds. And in Romans, Paul recognizes that not one of us seeks God. Not one of us live in a way that pleases him. We all fall short. Our desires are for the things of this earth. So if we are to learn to love God and to work to grow his kingdom, we must practice and train in godly discipline. Reading his words, praying for passion, and a heart to love God and his people. Are we seeking after him? Is that the focus of our eyes, and can they not be diverted? Can we control the impulses of our flesh with the power of the Spirit? If we don't, our young people are watching. And they'll be led to ask the question, how much do we really care about that imperishable wreath at the end of the race? If we don't engage in this battle every single day, Paul tells us himself that we might fall victim to preaching the gospel to others, to the young people who we care so much for, in his kids, in youth group, in church. But in the end, we might fall short. We might fall from the race. We might be disqualified. Well done to all our young people who won prizes. I hope you stick it out, and I look forward to seeing some of you join our youth next year. Let's conclude by singing. I want to move on to praise, which is This is Amazing Grace. Listen to these words and praise God from your hearts. To conclude the service today, usually Scott would lead us in the benediction. I want to do something similar, but I want to lead read from the book of Jude, verse 24. So if you've got your Bibles, you can flick open to it. If not, just listen along. It says this: to him who is able to keep you from falling and to present you before his glorious presence without fault and with great joy, to the only God, our Saviour, be glory, majesty, power, and authority through Jesus Christ, our Lord, before all ages, now and forevermore. Amen.